Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran, and I hope Dr. Hunsinger. Bill, are you with us as well?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It worked. I love technology when it works. Good evening,
like gentlemen. I called the number and it said, I called the number and said, you can listen to the show. And I thought, oh, okay.
Don't take it personal.
Welcome to the show, Bill.
When I'm listening to two geniuses, I'm okay with that.
No, we need your advice. We need your expertise. But obviously, to all our listeners, you know, welcome. This is Straight Talk, episode number 69, coronavirus shutdown. This is part three, and hopefully, we'll get through all the information on this, and so there won't have to be a part four. But if we don't, we'll do a part four. We're not shy. Obviously,
and we are flexible.
Yeah, we've had a lot of listens on the last two shows. I mean, exorbitantly larger than typical. So that means that obviously it's an important subject, an important topic, and a lot of people are tuning in. So, you know, thank you for that. We're glad that you can join us. And where we left off last week was we were in the middle of the discussion of the facility basically redesign issues. I think we had talked about a few of them and some of the things that maybe potentially might be reworked. So we were talking about things like how the patient check-in would potentially change, but mostly it all has to do with social distancing. And even that is called into question, isn't it, Bill? We had new information that came through today about the whole issue about
six feet enough. Yeah, 6 feet not enough. Yeah, I know. I saw that, and I was like, I sent it out to you guys. I've been looking at it all day. I think there's still controversy on that topic. I don't know if I sent you guys the second article where the guy said that he's not sure if there's enough virons to cause the infection at 26 feet away or 21 feet away, whatever the guy said in his article. If it wasn't that it was a deadly virus, I would be fascinated by it. We kind of need to know.
Yeah. And so you have to plan for the worst and hope for the best, right?
Yeah.
Logically,
I agree. Right. I mean, the guy's pictures and all that stuff on the website we looked at were impressive, but at the same breath, I looked at the other guy and he says, well, if it's 26 feet, why doesn't everybody have this disease? There's a little common sense you need to think about. So, and of course in dentistry, there's a big controversy about masks. Like, does your mask work? And the latest thing I read today was, I don't know, any masks work. Did you see that article? There was one article that said, we don't even know if an N95 works, which is kind of interesting. So
mainly because there is no masks that are fully sealed?
Right. And they don't fit perfectly. They don't fit perfectly.
But it has to do with the particle size. This stuff, especially coronavirus, is exceptionally small. Han, you and I were talking about the show. It's down to 0.06. It could be that small of a micron.
So I don't think
average is 0.125. Most masks don't think the filter.
I don't think the N95 goes down that low, does it? I mean, I think
no, it doesn't. It only goes down to 0.3. See, that's the that you know that's the you want to call it junk science or the fake news or whatever you want to call it, but it's the issue of the actual science behind it. The masks only catch point like an N95 only catches down to 0.3. Well, this stuff
so,
on average is 0.125, so it's half that
right.
size.
Right, right. Well, and I just want to point out that we are going to be doing a show in the next 7 to 10 days with Dr. Tom Orrett, and it'll be on his Thousand Gems website. And, Jim, you've got one of the best slides on that I've ever seen. I mean, that thing is amazing. So I would highly suggest everybody tune into that one because that one slide I looked at, I went, oh, my goodness. So,
well,
yeah, it's a
it
very
really
challenging thing.
Yeah, and to describe it to our listeners is basically it's a comparison of the physical size of this particular virus particle in relationship to other things. And Han, I guess you used the best terminology. It looks kind of like a galaxy, right? Like our solar system.
Yeah,
yeah.
You've got Pluto. Right.
Since we're on radio, we can't show you, but we will be able to show you.
So they got to watch the video. But it basically is that this virus is so small compared to a gargantuan thing like a particle of dust, which
the good news is we know a lot about design, and these guys know a lot about engineering stuff because we talk to engineers all the time. We know a lot about that stuff. They do. The issue is how many virons does it take to cause the infection? So that I don't know because I'm not a physician that studies that. So there's a lot of interesting information out there. I was actually on the internet today going everywhere because Jim and Han got a bunch of links from me today. And there's a bunch of interesting information out there. We are sorting it out. We're going to give you what we know, what makes sense, and what would just logically work for you guys. So, Jim, so what is the next thing we're going to talk about right now? What is our next topic? Because, of course, when I get on the radio, we tend to veer off.
Yeah, we do. That's okay. But we definitely want to talk about issues, physical things to think about in the design process. And
oh, my gosh. Such good news. Good news. Because Han and I...
So many things you can do that you should do. Now, there are also some things that you shouldn't do. Han, we were having a discussion before the show, weren't we, about some things
yes.
that just don't make sense.
That's,
go ahead.
That's right, but it makes you feel good. Now, Bill,
yeah.
you were going to say, Bill.
Well, Han, I was thinking that today, I just sent you an email and said, well, here's your chance. Design your perfect coronavirus 19 office that also has all of the issues with the handicap issue that we were always dealing with the
right
with I mean, why not, right? I mean, here's our chance.
We're going to take your office and we're going to make it into our first laboratory what the post coronavirus 19 building will look like.
Well, and what
okay.
we're talking about is we are a remodel job. I'm going to tell you, some of you guys that are thinking about designing your office today, if it's still on paper, you need to call Han right away. You need to call him because this is his goal. This is what he's working on. He knows the American Disability Act forward, backwards. He can read it backwards. And he will be all over this coronavirus issue and diseases like this that can spread, because we're going to see more of this. It's not going away. We're going to see more of it. So there are things that
yeah.
we did in the past that just will not make sense anymore. It just will not make sense. And patients are not going to accept it. I'm going to tell you guys, they will not accept it. They will come into your office and they'll go, oh, I like you, but I don't know if I feel safe here. So we're going to
mm-hmm.
talk about that as an issue.
Well,
today
it's
I was
a big
listening.
Issue. It's that perception. It's
well,
a huge issue. It's the perception of cleanliness. It's the perception, am I safe? It's the I mean, Bill, you've got a lot of patients, and you catch all the spectrum, but you've got a lot of older patients just as well as you do young patients, and they're
well,
very susceptible to this.
And what's real and what's unreal. Like,
yeah.
what is...
I think we have already started to see our fair share of of advertisement, and I want to be nice, but I think there's a lot of opportunities out there. Okay.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yes. And so, I mean, you got to put your thinking hat on, use some common sense, and take things methodically, analyze it, so that way you don't, you don't throw your money down the toilet just so that it makes you feel good. In fact, Jim and I were just talking about, sneeze guards that we've seen erected around, at grocery stores and stuff like that. And I have my own opinion. Sometimes I can be very opinionative, but it just makes you feel good. It doesn't do squat. Okay.
Now wait a second, Han. If the guy that directly sneezes on you, he's got to cut down the number of Byrons coming in.
Yes, yes. Just don't let them sneeze on you. But it's really
dangerous. Right.
I mean, it's just in case. That's why they call it a sneeze guard. All right. But in terms of everything else, it they don't address it. Okay.
Well, the issues with the grocery stores is what do they do? I mean, what do they do at this point? They're like, what do we do now? What do we do now?
Yeah.
So.
Right. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk. You guys have been grinding
on
this for a week. So.
We're talking about facilities. Okay. For majority of the listeners, you are either working for someone in a facility, you may own your own facility, or you're thinking or in the middle of building your facility. Like Bill mentioned earlier, if it's on paper, I strongly suggest that you reevaluate the design and look at a strategy that can be implemented to address this issue. I have heard advertisement that say, if you're building a brand new office, you have a leg up over the existing office and stuff like that. In my opinion, that sounds great, but a new facility that does not address your concern is the exact same as a older existing facility that does have not addressed the concern. Okay, this one is just a little newer with the same problem. Okay, but again, we're talking facility. So if you're in the middle of construction, I also suggest that you put on the brake and reevaluate what you can do now, so that you don't build a brand new building and then go back and fix it. Okay, there it would certainly worth your while to take a few extra day and things like that. So in terms of facility, we touch base on the short term of what you can do. Of course, the sneeze guard is something that have already you've already seen it in a lot of places. I've seen that at post office, and I've seen it at grocery stores. Okay, and it's a quick, inexpensive fix until you come up with a more permanent solution that can be integrated into the entire redesign strategy. Okay, so shielding is, you can do it yourself. Okay, and it's not very expensive. The social distance is the main thing. So if you're, now I have been to a medical clinic where the staff meet you outside in the parking lot. They come up to your car, get your information and all that stuff, and when it's your turn, they text you, and they will come out to the car and escort you into the building. So you don't see, I didn't see, when I was there, I didn't see, a constant flow of people coming in and out. So the amount of traffic that are migrating into the building, exiting the building, would drastically change. When you have, we used to say, if you have a waiting room, you need to have so many chairs. I think that's going to drastically change. If you have now, I think Bill Jura already had done that, is you have taken out majority of the chairs in your waiting room. so that you so that you are in compliance with that CDC recommended 6 feet social distance, right? It looks
yeah.
rather sparse. It looks interesting, Bill. Okay, this is like, wow, that's a pretty big room for. Okay, so we had talked about, my gosh, you know, what do you do with the furniture that have fabric? You know, I mean, we have touched base on a lot of stuff, and there is no single solution yet. Definitely, we don't have all the solution, but we're working on a lot of stuff to, to share with our clients and to share with the listening public. So that way, all of you can have resources to at least address the things short-term and long-term. Okay, so in short-term, shielding, social distance, can you compartmentize your facility? That point may be a longer-term thing. Part of the protocol of bringing patient into the building, walk them through, and exit the building, that is something that you probably have to work out so that way traffic doesn't cross each other and things like that. It's very difficult to even walk into, let's say, a large facility and keep your 6 feet distance from the next human. So imagine in your office where you're literally walking shoulder to shoulder down the corridor where that doesn't exist anymore. So it's a little bit of logistic coordinations, but I'm pretty sure in short time you can figure that out. That probably would be short-term, long-term thing, but it's a process and protocol that you have to work out for your own office. Okay, we touch base. We look at mainly facility. When it comes to facility, all the things that you touch, all the surfaces that you clean, all the pretty things that you put into your office, because that's the latest trend. It's probably gonna, by when the dust settles, it's gonna look more like a hospital environment, but that doesn't have to be ugly, okay? Because you can do a lot of things that still retain that homey feeling, that holistic look that the natural look of wood and stone and things like that is still there. You just have to hunt for it. Carpet. That's gonna be something that you probably have to think really hard to have in your office.
Gone. That's extinct, Tom. That's gone. There's no way you're gonna be able to keep carpet clean.
Yeah, I mean, in hospital, there's a lot of carpet, but it's in a public environment. But
yeah,
they don't have the aerosol that are in the air that typically are in the dentist's office.
I think Jim, you're right. I think in the operatories, it's going to disappear for sure. Some of the
Absolutely.
Public areas, I'm not sure. I know we in particular have an antibacterial coating and stuff on our carpet. It's cleaned regularly. But again, I mean, eventually it's all going to go away. It's just a matter of what can we afford to do and what can we afford to do it. I mean,
right. Yeah, because if this stuff, if it lives 24 to 48 hours or 3 to 4 days on things like carpet, or I'm sorry, like cardboard, you know it's going to be on the carpet. So
do we have statistics on fabric at this point? I can't remember. I can't remember the chart.
I did not see it, Bill.
Well,
okay.
and as you guys know that we know somebody who's not with us tonight who's part of a system where you can actually put a antiviral, anti-germicidal product on surfaces that will kill up to 28 days. So we may have
that would be great.
Well, we may have a solution. We're waiting to see if everything gets approved by the EPA and the FDA. So that may be a solution.
That would,
right.
That would
there's
be
definitely,
wonderful.
There are definitely major changes in materials. You're absolutely correct.
That's right. That is right. I mean,
you
I,
have more
I
of would, the OR feel.
Hey, Han, talk
that,
about
that
automatic. Talk about automatic door switches and automatic doors and automatic lights. Switches and motion sensors, because those are actually things that can be installed pretty easily, even in an existing space, which could make a big game changer because you're not touching something.
Yeah, it basically, you know, the no touch apparatus have been around for probably two decades or so, plus or minus. You've seen a lot in public toilet, public restrooms, where
towels.
You know.
Paper towel dispensers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You don't touch the soap dispenser. You don't even have to flush your own toilet anymore. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So that may migrate into your facility. And I suggest it. Okay. Here, think about this. Now we're gonna go deeper into the weeds a little bit. If you go into a public restroom. I'm not talking about your single holder at the dentist's office, okay? You go into the store, you do your business. Nobody, including myself, actually reached down and pushed that lever to flush the toilet.
Oh, no,
nobody.
They use a paper towel.
They use your feet. No, use your foot. You, just,
use
you
foot.
Push it with your foot.
Sorry.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? So, you know, in how much, you know, so in your... In your own office, a single occupant toilet room, it might cost you, you know, a few dollars. You change your soap dispenser goes to a hand-free, touch-free. Your paper towel dispenser, your toilet, okay. Anything, well, with the exception of toilet paper, okay. But everything else, anything that can be touch-free, do so. Restroom doors, that would be a tough one unless you enlarge and redesign it. But anything that you don't need to touch, it doesn't cost very much to do. Now, if you own a building and you're looking at ways to minimize, you know, eliminate some of the necessity for people to touch, Bill built his building 15 years ago, he was way ahead of the curve. He actually, you know, pamper his patient with a sliding door. All right. They don't even have to touch the thing. They walk up and open. Okay. Both ways.
There's a vestibule.
That's right. That's right. Bill graduated in the upper 1 percentile of his class.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Okay. So anyway, you know, you have facility where you have doors that you push the button and it opens, like hospitals, okay? That is, but again, you don't necessarily have to touch with your hand.
Well, those are ADA doors. They have a lot of those ADA doors, right?
That is an ADA, because a lot of door actually, they say it only require, you can, the door has to be, no more than 5 pounds of pressure to open it. And when you walk up to the door and you plant your feet down and you grab two hands, you yank it open, you couldn't because it's, you know, a lot of doors too tight, too heavy. But those automatic push buttons is a godsend if you can install them. And really, they don't cost a lot to install them, okay? Jim was talking about occupancy sensors. So in your office, you know, the light switches and stuff like that, it can be retrofitted so that a person can walk in and automatically sense, you know, a person in the room and they turn it on.
So we can do a lot. Today we can do a lot with light switches. That's one thing we can definitely do. Some of the doors you can put sensors on. You could. Sliding doors obviously work better for the automatic.
But it costs a lot to retrofit the building to do that. If it's not designed to accommodate that, so you don't, okay? We look at here in your treatment room. There's a lot of surfaces in your treatment room. How you sterilize, how you keep things sterilized and things like that, you're going to have to really look at and reevaluate that. You know, you got cabinetries, and you go like, well, the countertop can be have to be clean and sanitized and all that stuff, but the cabinets, you know, the drawers, they're not airtight, okay? So the particulates that are in the air can settle in and it contaminate everything. So do you need cabinets in your treatment room? Yeah, you have to reevaluate that. Okay, so there's a lot of things that change. One of the things that that we look at, yes, I am pretty anal about details. In Bill's office, when you buy cabinets, if you use side cabinets, okay, the backsplash is usually come separately from the countertop, so they glue them down. So anytime that you glue two pieces together, there is a crevice for bacteria and germ and all that stuff. Bill's, he splurged, and they used this, we had chlorine countertop, and the backsplash was cooled, meaning it is a integral one piece. There is no seams. Okay, so when you are looking at having cabinets and stuff of that made, I can tell you that the dental guys don't sell countertop that are cooled. All right, your local cabinet guy do. So reevaluate your purchases and things like that, and that's something that we have done for, you know, in Bill's office, that we even, all the sinks are integral sink. There is no drop-in because there's lips and stuff like that. It's very clean. It's easy to keep clean, you know, because it is an environment that you're trying to maintain sterile and easy to clean, okay? Let me see. So in short term,
can I interject one thing,
yeah,
and it has to do with the countertops when you were there? I mean, there's also been a study, and we actually did a show about this a long time ago, not knowing about the coronavirus, but there's been a study about materials, specifically an example of comparing countertop material like copper to countertop material like stainless steel. Now, we've always thought that stainless steel was like one of the most sterile materials, right? Well, here, there's some kind of molecular down to the atom scenario that copper, the coronavirus, lives basically half as long on copper than it does on stainless steel, just because of copper, not because of anything else. So, you know, there may be the opportunity to find other and better materials to put on that countertop that you decide that you're going to keep and not eliminate all of them. But if you put another material on that countertop that where the virus can only live half as long, then you have a better chance of, you know, killing it before you have an opportunity before it infects somebody. So that's an important point to think about as well.
Yeah, and I think in the last episode, Jim had had covered UV radiation for open spaces. Okay, that is something that could be done immediately within your treatment room and stuff like that. Okay, so those in the short term. But in the long term, we need to assess what you have and look at how things can be modified and improved so that you can meet all the objective of, you know, the social distance, the traffic flow, the separation at the check-in, check-out, if it still exists, and things like that. Okay, things that will require physical.
Yeah, here's one I want to throw at both you guys. It really has to do with both the design and the procedures and in the whole issue about one-way corridors. One-way corridors as well as a separate entry and exit. You want
actually, it's not a common use in dental offices.
No.
I've seen... Now, I've seen a handful. It was used not because of infection control, anything like that. It's mainly more of a business model. But your, you know, your family doctors, your private
practices. Oh, pediatricians.
Pediatricians. Yes. That is a now we've done dentist offices, but it's not the same as a pediatrician's office. And you're right. In a pediatrician office, the traffic is you go into the waiting room, the sick room, you go see the doctor, and you exit on the other side of the building, separate from, you know, where you come in. So it will be, yeah, it would, the reintroduction of separate enter and exit point for dentist office, I believe, will be a pretty common thing in the future.
Right. So at this moment, most dental offices don't have that. So one of the things that we will be discussing with Dr. Oren is, well, how do you handle this? Do you stagger patients? Do you have them wait in their car? What are you doing? We'll be discussing that more. There are definitely options. I'm looking at a staggered schedule myself. We're looking at having patients check in from the parking lot. There's all kinds of things we're looking at. But we'll be discussing that more probably within the next 7 to 14 days on 1,000 Gems. But, so, Han, so what guys, and I'm just curious, I don't know, Jim, what else is on our agenda? Because I know you're a good agenda guy. What's on the agenda?
Well, we were going to talk more about a few things in the design side. Then we want to talk about any procedural things that, since we've got you, that, you know, that are at least maybe could be looked at right now, but obviously there might be some long-term stuff that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously the cleaning and sterilization, the whole aspect of how that has to change.
So we just absolutely just made a few changes in the way we're seeing our emergency patients. But a couple of things that are going on right now. What you'll find with Han and Jim, there are things that they're going to suggest based on what's going on in your office that we can do immediately. Some of the things we've already discussed. We could go to a motion sensor on doors and switches, all kinds of stuff like that. We're going to show you guys, we're going to talk about temporary things, the barricades you can put up at your reception desk. We're going to talk about how you can actually redesign your reception desk later. But there are things you need to do because hopefully we're going to be opening up in the next, I don't even want to be too optimistic. I mean, it could be 6 to 8 weeks. It could be more. I don't think it's going to be less, and there's some major breakthrough. But there's a lot of things that these guys look at details. Like, for instance, Han just brought up the fact a touchless toilet. I mean, they're in every airport, at most restaurants around the country. Why do we have them in our bathrooms at the dental office? Never thought about it. Did you, Han? Never thought about it.
I'm going to be nice.
You probably thought about it. I just didn't think about it.
It's probably because it's cheaper. Okay.
Well, it's an institutional thing. It kind of is an institutional. And dental offices, of course, weren't supposed to be institutional. We're supposed to be like, I'm going to tell you guys, how many times if you pick up dental economics and you look into the best designed dental office, how many of them look like living rooms? How many of them have couches and fireplaces? And I mean.
Yes.
And those are gone.
Focus,
those days are gone, guys. Those days are gone.
Yeah,
no couch in your
focus,
reception room.
That's right. And you basically, you know, you're trying to create an environment that are not so intimidating. And you make it more like you're coming to visit your dentist's house instead of a medical facility. Okay? That warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, it still can be achieved to great extent. It's just a matter of identifying a design strategy that can accomplish that. You're going to compromise some, okay? It's going to be a give and take, but you have to approach it from a more of an intellectual level than an emotional level.
So be prepared. Right? So if you start in the parking lot and come through the door, you've got to be prepared as a dentist. Staggering your patients, coming in and out of the door, you're going to have to do it. It's the way it's going to be. Unless we have a vaccine or some type of unbelievable treatment where we know who has it, who doesn't have it. They're talking about an instant test. I mean, there's all kinds sorts of things going on in the medical community that could help us. But right now, you got to assume everybody's got it, so you're going to have to somehow figure out how to get them in out of the door. I just got my new infrared temperature taker. I think I sent that to you guys, or laser thing. You got a picture of that. That's fascinating. But it, just in and out of the entry points are now a big deal. And then they're going to walk in, and how are we going to check them in by phone? Are we going to do it remotely? There's all sorts of things. I like to still have the idea of having a person sitting there to hello at least. Obviously, there's going to be separation. How do we walk them back? We just changed our protocol with the assistants. Now they're required to wear a mask and eye care, some protective eyewear when they walk back there. Got to make sure you don't touch your face. I mean, it's like, because it's hard to keep 6 feet when you're in a treatment room with a patient treating them. So special PPE back in those rooms. Han, you know what? I think we got a few days. I know you've been working out on your little design studio thing on your computer, but here's an opportunity to design like the perfect dental office for pandemics. And I think that you can do that. And I think, Jim, you can do it. But in the meantime, again, we've got thousands and thousands of dental offices trying to figure out what they're going to do in 6 to 8 weeks when we reopen the doors. So,
hey, Bill,
so,
let me throw two things by you, and it has to do with procedures. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you can take it. Gloves. You know, one of the biggest fallacies that I see, people think that they put on a pair of gloves that they're basically impervious. Gloves are just as easily going to spread this as anything else if you keep them on all day.
Well,
right?
If you touch it, you've got to change your gloves constantly. You've got to keep your hands washed. You've got to make sure that you're contaminated. Well, and we're already doing it. The issue is that once you're in the operatory, do you want to leave it? And I would say no. Once you start on that patient, you don't really want to leave.
You can't leave the operatory. Once you're in there, basically everything.
Well, you've got to strip. Right, and you got to strip off all your PPE, which is a pain, and go to the next room and check, but you can't do that. So we're in the middle of, and that's probably something we'll talk about either on this show in the future on our interview with Tom.
Let me throw the next one at you guys. Storage and intake of all the stuff that you get. The UPS guy comes and brings you 2 dozen boxes of stuff. How do you deal with that?
Oh, well, I mean, what we're doing now is we're leaving it sit for a while. I forget what cardboard is. I forget what the thing on cardboard is.
Three days.
It's a pain in the neck. It's absolutely a pain in the neck. It's absolutely a pain in the neck.
I've seen literature where they say you have to sterilize the box. Sterilize.
Well, I mean, we're not sterilizing, but we're disinfecting it at least. Like there's a pro. It's almost there's a YouTube I know that you guys probably have seen where how to go to the grocery store and shop and how the guy separates it.
Yeah,
and how
we saw that.
Touch it. So I mean, plus you don't know what's been touched in the box even. So, like you buy a case of gloves and you got the cardboard box and you got however many boxes of glove inside that box. So it's a very challenging situation right now. Very challenging.
Here's another
Bill,
one, Han, I want to throw by you, and it's the walls of the operatory. We've seen it. You and I have seen it. We've walked into facilities that, you know, they've done everything they thought they needed to do, but you rub your hand across that wall and it's the
filth. Oh, you can't touch it.
It's the filthiest thing you can think of, and you can touch it, and you can feel the dirt that's on there. We've got to change out walls. Walls have to now have, medical-grade covering, don't they, Han? Something.
Some kind of surface that's easy to clean. I mean, we have wallpaper and paint. Think about it, just for looks.
Yeah.
Wallpaper
actually,
is gone.
No. I can be wrong, but I don't believe there is such thing as a medical grade wall covering. What you
there
have
is
you have okay.
It's got a certain type of texture to it.
But I don't know how they clean OR, so I really have no idea how they clean OR. I don't know that they get
the
walls. I don't know if they get all the walls.
How do you clean the wall?
Well, number one, I got to tell you, Jim, I've never touched the wall that I remember, but could have leaned against it and didn't think about it. Could happen, you know.
Sure.
I don't think I ever did it with my gloves on.
Yeah. Once you light up that that drill and all that stuff starts going everywhere, you know where it's going.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, we may have a solution for that, but we can't talk about that now. We gotta move on.
There is a lot of things, a lot of research that have been going on before the coronavirus. Okay, you hear it of self cleaning glass, and that's not voodoo science. There are antimicrobial coating. So there is a lot of research that are going on that could be implemented and utilized and introduced into the dental environment, because you have people and you have pathogens. So it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff out there. It's just a matter of finding it and see whether it's appropriate and affordable. So I think once there's legislations and guidelines that are established, then at least you have a base to work from. Right now, you look at what can you do right away that actually add value rather than just throwing money away. We certainly are doing our research and are putting our experience to address those things, and we like it to bring to you as you make the call and let us help you to strategize.
Right. I mean, on some of those surfaces, depending on what it is, I mean, UV would kill it. It's got to be clean, though, but it could kill it could kill things on wall surfaces. But I think what we need to really focus on is what is, like, we have a certain standard of care in dental offices now. And basically, what we're doing is we're cleaning and disinfecting any surfaces that instruments touch or patients are going to touch or within a certain range of that chair in their mouth. And I think that we can focus on that initially and develop a plan to decrease the amount of aerosols in that room, and then we can move up from there. Because you're going to have nobody getting any dental treatment if you guys and I get to do everything we think about. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. Are we going to clean the ceiling between every patient? I mean, what are we going to do? I don't even know the OR. I don't think ORs do that. So there are things that we need to have more clear science about. But are we going to do the best we can? Yes. I think, honestly, Han, when you design the next dental office, probably not going to have any side cabinetry. It's going to be minimal stuff on any surface that can harbor virus or bacteria. I think the fancy dental carts with a bunch of stuff mounted on them that make it easy for us, those are probably going to go away. We're going to have very flat surfaces. We're going to have everything for that patient probably carried into that room. Like we're talking about, like the cup where you guys usually rinse your mouth out before we start, that's probably going to be a special patient pack that's yours. There's going to be all sorts of things to reduce cross-contamination. And dentistry has been working on this for years, years and years and years. I mean, you've seen us progress from disinfectants where you dumped all your instruments in a liquid and let them sit there for an hour, sterilize them, disinfect them, to the point where I believe I have 4 sterilizers in my office right now that are tested on a regular basis to kill things. And we actually have packs that we put together that are sealed and kept clean. So it's going to be a big change. It will not basically be a huge change for a lot of the dentists, because we kind of understand sterile technique. We're not perfect. Because we already know the mouth is extremely dirty. I hate to tell you this, guys, but the mouth is extremely dirty. I think. But the thing I think we've missed the boat a little bit is aerosols in the operatory, and now with coronavirus being so easy to spread, that we've really got to take a hard look at that. And Jim, we've spent a lot of time on aerosol reduction, and we continue to spend a lot of time looking at it. And air circulation, but again, Han, and what you guys are working on is patient flow through the office,
How do we get them in and out? How do we make them feel safe? And how do we keep them safe? And the other thing that we've not talked about tonight is staff safety. How do we handle, like, I've got a locker room. How do we handle that? How do we handle sitting down at for the morning huddle? How do we handle that? How is that going to happen? So there's a lot of things we need to think about as far as is handling these pandemic issues that are going to continue to come up. It's very challenging.
You brought up a good point too, Bill. And you know, you hear it often in a lot of corporate meetings and stuff like that. You know, our most valuable asset is our staff, right? And there's a lot of talk about when you design a dental office, you know, everything is geared around the patient. And in my opinion, to a point, okay, because the patient they change. Patient only come into your office once or twice a year unless they need extensive work. But your staff and yourself, you know, you live there on a daily basis. So everything that, you know, when you design it, need to be designed with their safety, their comfort, you know, at the forefront.
Oh, I think we're going to see a change in the OSHA standards. Quickly, once we get through this emergency, there's going to be changes in standards with OSHA.
I hope that we don't slip back into the you know, the complacency of everything will be okay. We should always, you know, shoot to be the pioneer, looking for the next greatest improvement, so that it prolong it, so it improve, you know, so provide a better, cleaner, safer environment for, you know, for you to work in, and for your patient to feel, you know, comfortable and safe, and getting the level of care that they expect. Some of the address you have shown me earlier today about the, you know, like that plexiglass.
Yeah, tune in to 1,000 Gems. So, yeah, you're going to see that.
All right. Okay. So,
well, how do you breathe? How do you breathe? I was thinking, how do these people breathe inside this thing? So, I mean, the guys had gas masks on.
How do you get them to sit, to lay still for you to put over top of them? Okay.
Well, a lot of people are claustrophobic, and they're already scared to death. So,
Bill, is there anything, you know, before the coronavirus become, you know, the dinner table discussions, is there a clean regimen that you put in place?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a standard of care. We actually have somebody who does OSHA training that comes to our office once a year, and we review all of our procedures all the way from the front to the back of the office. It goes through every drawer, checks how things are sterilized, check how we sterilize, make sure that staff is safe, make sure they have proper PPE. I mean, we do that. That's a normal standard yearly review. We get graded on it. And now what I see is that standard is going to change, and there's going to be some things we're all going to have to do to up our game. Again, this thing is so virulent, it just spreads too easy. And there's, you know, and it's on the treatment side. I mean, Jim, let's face it, if you got a virus and they could give you something for 3 or 4 days, you got better and there was no real high chance of death, it would change the way you look at it. I mean, we've gotten common colds for years, and you know, we decided to live with that. There's been flu vaccines around for how many years, guys? Years.
And
for years and years, I didn't get them. And as I became a higher risk person, I started taking them. And we've got staff in our office that don't get it. I've not forced them to do it. But those days are gone. Those days are gone. And you know what happens. Like, I've got 26 staff members, and somebody will walk in, and they're not symptomatic yet, and they give the flu to two people. All of a sudden, I've got three people short. I got three people out. And how many patients got it from them? So those days are gone. We got to change that. That cannot continue.
Well, and especially with this dang thing, because you theoretically can have it, carry it, and give it, and not have a single symptom.
And not have any idea.
And not have any clue. So you have to almost walk in there with the understanding that I have it, or I am a carrier.
Yeah. Right. And how many staff people have it that you don't know about? So
right.
So when they start talking about, well, you know, should we be wearing a mask? And I thought, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. The mask is, you know, that's a big controversy right now. I read article after article how, you know, it doesn't do any good and doesn't do, you know, all that stuff. But we've got to do something. And again, it doesn't seem like there's any perfect way to do it unless you get your spacesuit, which we've seen on the internet too. If you get in the NASA spacesuit, you might be protected totally, 100%. So unless you open the shield and touch your face with a contaminated glove, then you're going to, you know.
Let's have another show with Mark and basically talk about the whole issue of cleanliness, dealing with germ 24, dealing with everything that has to do with cleaning and sterilization, because I think it's too important of a subject to try to squeeze in.
We're talking about some breakthrough technologies here, and we're waiting for some approvals on. That's why we're not talking about it more.
Right.
But it's a breakthrough technology. It's going to be something that can change the game in your office as far as cleaning.
Let's try to do that next week if at all possible. I'll talk with Mark about having that. I wanted to throw in one thing that was, I think, a possible in looking at. And basically it's creating a cabinet or a closet where you can run in your equipment, like carts. The bigger stuff that you can't stick in a sterilization unit, but effectively create a closet that becomes a sterilization unit. That's a potential game changer as well, isn't it, Bill?
Well, yes. And one of the things, Han, you probably have already thought about this too, is that, as you know, that one of the things that I'm doing that we've done is we've tried to keep things, we put stuff on a cart that we roll in the room and we use it as we need it. I mean, like we have a root canal cart, and we have a surgical extraction cart, and I have a implant cart. So now, how do we handle that? I mean, how do we handle that? So obviously, you can bring it in, but it's almost like everything has to be set up so that it stays in the room, and anything that gets in that room that can be coated by aerosols, if we don't decrease them, has got to be cleaned in a special way. So. What do we do, Jim? Do you have a UV closet? But then,
yep, that's exactly how we do it. We create a UV closet. You put that cart in there, and you clean it, and you just swap them out one after another. It only takes five minutes.
I think it's an extra step, Jim. That first of all, you wipe down the cart, and you prep it again, ready for the next procedure. But meanwhile, after it's clean and stuff like that. What Jim was talking about is, you know, when you have your docking area, instead of it being open, it could be a closet that's created for the purpose of sterilizing using UV lighting.
There you go.
You know, so
that's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting deep in the weeds.
Yeah, we're really getting deep. We're really getting deep. But actually, guys, these are good thoughts. These are good thoughts because I just thought of it myself because I'm sitting there thinking, because I usually have all that stuff sitting there. And right now, you can't put it in an autoclave, it'll ruin it. So right now we're wiping it down with Cavicide, which works. It works. It's an EPA registered disinfectant cleaner. So we're assuming it works. And again, there's got to be more research. Like what percentage of virons do we have to have to where we're going to get it? Like, in other words, if there's one molecule and you touch it, is that going to give you the disease? I don't know. And I don't think they know yet either. So these are all great thoughts. We can double the cost of any dental office, depending on how far down this road we want to go. But there are things that we've talked about tonight that are fairly simple things you can do. Things that are obvious that you should do, social distancing, flow in and out of the office, some type of barrier between your front desk staff and the patients, PPE, proper PPE protection for your staff, setting up your operatory so that there are not a lot of things to go in and out of there once the patient started. Jim, one of the things I've already thought about is I'm probably not going to roll that card in there. I'm going to take everything I need, put it in a patient pack, and bring it in. And that cart is probably not going to be in that operatory in range of the aerosol. Because right now they're talking, we're looking at a new high vacuum suction. We're looking at all kinds of stuff to try to reduce aerosol. There's a classic video out right now that's been out for many, many years that says, if saliva were red, where would it go? And there's a certain amount of range where aerosols go, but again, there are still studies going on with this virus. How much is it in that aerosol? How do we decrease it? And that's one of the many things we're looking about, air filtration, UV. There's all kinds of things that we're looking at right now.
Now, there's one last thing I want to throw out for all our listeners, because I think it's important. And, you know, Han and I have always been straight with everyone, and we're just extremely concerned that, Han, you touched on a little bit about, you know, the opportunistic individual out there, or maybe he's giving wrong information for whatever particular reason. I'm not going to judge anybody, but be careful.
Well, there was one we got today. That I thought was ridiculous.
Be careful. You know, some people do not have the right facts, or they don't have the right knowledge, and they make recommendations, and you may trust those recommendations, but they might not be the right one. We've just recently had recommendation where an individual recommended that you change your filters to an M16, a MERV 16, and that'll catch the coronavirus. It won't. It's too small. The M16 only goes down to 0.3.
Yeah, the virus is too small.
The virus is 1.5 and smaller. So you had to go to an M9 or MERV 19. Okay. There's no furnace filter system. There's no existing air handler that you can just switch out and put a MERV 19 into. Basically, your airflow will become zero. So, you know, just be careful out there. You know, listen to people. Hear what they say, double check what they say, and make sure before you go, you know, dropping money into a whole bunch of stuff, because we don't want you to waste your money. And also,
here's the great thing about you two guys is that you're smart enough to know what you don't know. We go to experts and we find out the true information.
Oh yeah. We'll tell you if we don't know. And Han, we'll tell you what we do know too, won't we?
That's right. I mean, you know, our show was named Straight Talk on purpose. Is that most of our clients and potential clients, when they come and they have questions, they're looking for answers. They're not looking for BS, okay? If we don't know, we tell you. We don't know. We have not encountered that, but we will be darn sure to research so that we know. And we'll share that information, whatever it is that we found, okay? And Jim's being nice. There's a lot of misinformation out there. If it sounds too good to be true, darn it, it's probably too good to be true, okay? You know, step back, look at things, evaluate, and ask a lot of questions. Questions are cheap, okay?
And we've got you guys working hard. I have my dental practices are to the point where we have probably 15,000 active patients or more. I've got 60 to 70 staff members that we're trying to take care of. Six, seven, eight doctors. I mean, it's something that I feel very personal about, their safety and the patient's safety. And we want to set a standard, and I've got to tell you, these guys get stuff from me all the time asking, what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Check this out. So we are constantly checking. There are two, three things we changed since we talked last week already. And it's been 6 days, 7 days. So one of the things, Jim, that listeners that have been listening the last 2 weeks is we're moving forward with a way to put UV light in our HVA systems. And we've actually got somebody who does that kind of work, and we're going to talk to them on exactly how it gets done. So we'll be talking about that some more. So there's some practical things that we bring to the table. There are some very interesting, complicated things we bring to the table. But one of the things you want to do is, if you're sitting out there right now going, well, what can I do with my facility now? contact Todd and Jim. Contact them. They can look at floor plans. They can look at systems. You can take photographs. We can do a virtual consultation now. We've got all kinds of stuff we can do. But you need to contact these guys. Keep listening because there'll be new information. These guys know what they're doing. I'm telling you, they know what they're doing. And Jim, you need to sign off. You need to give us the traditional Jim Jarvis sign off.
Yeah, well, that is true. We are there. We've burned up another hour, didn't get through everything like we wanted to. So there will be another show, and it'll be all about the cleanliness and sterilization, and it's going to have Mark. But obviously, thank you so much for listening, being part of our show. And Bill said it just exactly correctly. If you need more information, give us a call, give us an email. We're here to help. With that, I'll let you have the last word, Hon.
All right, terrific. I enjoy the hours that we spent together. Appreciate you turning in. Be safe, be careful, and we'll talk to you again in a week. Until then, have a good evening.
Thank Bye-bye. You, gentlemen.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Hon. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.